Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Beat.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Beat, part of the Triple Play Fantasy Network. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Chris Torres. I will be your host today. You could find me on X at Torres Takes. We got a great show for you today. We have a very special guest. Thomas Nestico will be joining us. You could find him on X at TJ Stats. We're going to be talking about some pitchers that we might be having some concerns about, off to some slow starts. So we want to get his thoughts on that and also want to learn more about the great work that he has been doing and content that he's been posting on X, as well as his Patreon. So very excited to talk to him. But as always, joined by my co-host, Mike Carter. You know him, you love him, or not, I don't know. But you can find Mike at Fantrax, at Rotoballer. Mike, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm cold, Chris. I mean, we had a game tonight. I just walked in the door, and it was like 55 degrees, 20-mile-an-hour wind in our face. It was nasty out there today, man. Not a good day for baseball. But we won.
The dub.
Yep.
That's it. That's all that matters.
Shout out to my Batavia freshman boys. They know who they are. Some of them have started following me on Twitter. So shout out to you guys. Nice game today. Aiden Kropp almost hit one out. It was wind-blown in, and it knocked it down. But he was about 7 feet away from his first home run in high school. So good. They're great guys. You would love them. They play hard. They play aggressive. I love them. And, yeah, let's talk some baseball. Thomas, excited to have him on with us tonight and talk about some advanced stats and some different things that are going on in fantasy baseball. Are you freaking out at all yet, Chris?
About
the like levels of injuries, like player performance. Are you staying calm, or where are you at right now?
Oh yeah. I mean, listen, I think I've done this long enough that it's kind of like I've gotten like a little bit hardened, I guess, you know, like it kind of is what it is. I know it's still early. Of course, you're human. You know, a player you have gets injured. Of course, you're like, oh, crap, man. But no, I'm not freaking out. Like I thankfully my teams right now are in pretty good position. Like none of them are like I've got a couple first place teams, but like none of them are just like insane right now. But I feel like all of them are in a good spot where, you know, I feel that they can make some noise as the season goes on. So, you know, if all my teams were like near the bottom, then we might be having a different conversation. But for the most part, feeling pretty good, you know, about where things are at. But yeah, let's bring on Thomas, because definitely want to get his thoughts on some of these players that, you know, I'm a little concerned about. And I think he's got a lot of good insight information to share. Like I said, Thomas is on Twitter at TJ Stats. He is putting out a lot of visualizations and data that's really, I really love the way he presents it. It's very easily digestible. And I remember when he really first started putting things out, I'm like, wow, this guy really, like, I love what he's doing. So I've wanted to have him on for a while now. I haven't heard him on many fantasy podcasts, so wanted to reach out and get him on here. So Thomas, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Thank you guys for having me on. I'm doing all right. Nothing too much going on. Just, again, following baseball as I normally do. And yeah, glad to be here.
Awesome, man. Well, the first thing I got to ask you, all right, because in your profile, you are a self-proclaimed baseball nerd. And I just assumed, like, I had never seen you like in a draft of mine or anything like that, but I just assumed you were like a fantasy baseball guy. So when I reached out to you to have you on the show, you told me that you don't play fantasy. You're not into fantasy baseball, which I was like, really? I was like, that didn't make any sense to me, because you're so deep into this. And it seems like, to be honest, like you'd be pretty damn good at this game given your level of knowledge. So first thing I got to ask you is, why no fantasy baseball for you?
I actually am in more of like a home league that's been running for about 10 years or so. Okay. So I do play fantasy baseball. I am interested in it as well. It's just more of those high stakes. I see like so many of all the different accounts. Okay. Just like the very high stakes, huge prize pools. I'm just not too interested in that. It feels a little too, like I'll be too invested in that. I'd rather focus more on, I guess, the baseball data side. I don't want to be like, I want to be more like a general baseball account rather than like a fantasy focused one. Mm-hmm. I kind of just like the sport as a whole and kind of help develop and kind of expand and help other people understand baseball data analytics. And analytics in general and applying them to the sport and getting other sports as well, help people learn along the way. So yeah, it's more like a hobby for me, a very passion project kind of started. I actually started with fantasy hockey. I was actually very deep into fantasy hockey. I still am partially, definitely stepped a bit away from that and focused a bit more on baseball. And I guess for the past year or so, I've been very baseball focused. And again, it's very applicable for both fantasy baseball and real life baseball. We're looking for the best players and understanding what makes a player good, how they're going to perform in the future, if there's any like negative like red flags in a player, or if there's anything underlying stats that will help you want to target a player in a certain position. Because I definitely get questions from people asking this player or that player, and I'll be happy to answer them as well. But in general, I want to be more just like a general baseball account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a much healthier relationship with baseball than some of us degenerates playing in 10 fantasy leagues. So, no, that's awesome. I mean, I think, again, the work you've been doing is great. And also wanted to plug your Patreon as well. You have three different tiers, but you've got a lot of different and kind of unique data that you offer through your Patreon. And again, the way you present it is really cool. So definitely, if you're interested, go check out Thomas's Twitter page again, at TJ Stats, and you'll find the link at the top of his profile.
Thomas, how did you get started creating content on Twitter and in the space there? Is it something that you started out as a hobby, or is it something that you were looking to do as like a way to gain employment? What are your thoughts on how you got started?
Yeah, I've always been interested in sports, baseball, hockey in particular, and I have a background in math and sciences as well. I've always been interested in them. And then I remember when I was younger, even elementary school, I would open up an Excel spreadsheet, find even the most basic data like goals and assists in hockey and kind of play around with that and make little graphs. And I just found it very exciting. And I guess it's just more of a passion hobby for me, and just the love of the game and the love of sports and analytics kind of meshed together. And with how I guess the game's evolved and the accessibility for both learning different programming languages like Python and R and SQL, it's very applicable, especially to baseball data, because it's readily available, and there's just so much of it. Every single game provides you so many different data points you can look at and analyze. And since 2015, that's since the start of the StatCast era, you can go back and just kind of analyze every single game pretty much to, if you're looking at pitch modeling, exit velocities, all that different stuff there. So I just find it very interesting, specifically baseball. There's so much data. They're definitely at the forefront compared to other sports. And again, just the love of maths and sciences and just meshing them all together. And definitely more of a hobby it started as. I have been reached out to by a few teams that hasn't, I guess, don't want to cover too much into that, but definitely I've been reached out by some executives, teams in data analytics departments, and definitely fun and very enjoyable talking to them. They love baseball. They wouldn't be in the sport if they didn't. And it's definitely very interesting to just chat with them, get those connections. And again, the growing on Twitter as well, interacting with the community. There's a lot of great minds, very friendly people as well. They just want to learn more about baseball or help as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I could absolutely see you, man, someday putting out a tweet that you are moving to work with a certain organization. Like I definitely, you know, again, your level of knowledge and just the way you present stuff and the way you think about things, I could absolutely see that, of course, if you want that. But I want to ask you a little bit more about some of the work that you've done around the Stuff Plus, or I don't know, actually not Stuff Plus, because that's another model, but you have your own Stuff Metric. I wanted to learn a little bit more about that. And specifically, how does your Stuff Metric for pitchers differ from some of the other publicly available Stuff models that are out there?
Yeah, I definitely gained a lot of knowledge and insight from reading articles from other creators like Eno Saris on his model as well. He has a great article in The Athletic. There's MLB Pitch Profiler as well. They're great. Jeremy's great there. Definitely just reading a lot about it, what makes like a pitch good, and understanding like the different, I guess, shapes of a pitch, and like why one pitch could perform better than a different pitch, or like why an off-speed pitch is more favorable, depending on their shape of their fastball. So just learning, reading through all of that, and just working through it. Again, they use different machine learning algorithms to kind of create these models. Mine's an XGBoosted decision tree, so it's the same one that that Eno Saris uses, and I've seen a lot of other people that have created Stuff Plus models use the same algorithm. And the way I would think it would differ in why our models would differ so much is the way we calculate the run value, like the expected run value of a pitch. Because I laid out, I have an article on Medium covering my model, going through like what the inputs are and then what I'm looking to kind of predict. So I guess the biggest thing would be specifically that, how I'm valuing a specific pitch, like a called strike and a certain count. I'm not sure how other people are doing it unless they've shared their data and read it. I like a certain, like a 3-2 strikeout on a 3-2 count is more valuable than a strikeout on an 0-2 count, something along those lines there. So definitely a lot of different variables at play. Again, don't want to go too deep into the machine learning side of machine learning models and whatnot, but there's definitely different hyperparameters, and just the way, and the data we use as well, because I use data from 2020 to 2022. I know Eno has added in the 2023 data in his most recent model. He also includes platoon splits and I think park factors such as elevation. I know there's a lot of definitely moving towards adding like weather data, wind speed, because again, pitchers perform differently at different weathers. Some excel a bit more, some struggle a bit. I think we'll cover that in the next section about the pitchers we are a little concerned with. Definitely some pitchers there that have been struggling a little early and with some weather issues. But in general, yeah, I have a whole article on Medium. It's called Modeling TJ Stuff Plus. That's my model. Uses very similar features as you'll see other models use, such as Eno Saris, but I go through in detail what it covers, how I get the data, how I manipulate it, and the model I use, and then the outputs as well.
That's pretty fascinating. Thomas, you wrote a thread recently on Joe Ryan, who is one of Torres's main guys here. Torres has been in on him for quite a while. And you stated in that thread that he's not the same pitcher as he was in 2023. Can you tell our listeners why that's the case?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I wrote a thread earlier this week on Joe Ryan, and he's had a very good start to the season. And the main thing why I mentioned he's not the same pitcher is his usage is drastically different. Last year, he was a primarily fastball guy, and he still is a primary fastball guy, but last year it was majority of his pitches were fastballs. So about 57% of his pitches to both righties and lefties were fastballs. And the way Joe Ryan succeeds with his fastball in generating a lot of whiffs is he throws them high in the zone. That's how, if you look at any plot, if you're able to locate your fastball high in the zone, you're going to generate a lot more whiffs. And Joe Ryan was excellent at doing so. But his issue is he threw his fastball way too often. Again, almost 60% of the time. So no matter if you're a lefty or if you're a righty, you can just wait for him to throw a high fastball and you can just clobber it. If he mislocated it, you can just take it, hit it off the park. I had a stat here, it was 14 of his 32 home runs he let up last year or on fastballs to right-handed batters. So definitely he had trouble with the home runs last year. He gave up 32 in about one per start. And he did miss a few starts as well. So he's giving him more than a home run a start, which is definitely not what you want from a starting pitcher. He also, his secondaries is a splitter, he has a slider. He wasn't using them as often as he probably should have been using them. Typically, you want to use your splitter against the opposite hand and your slider and your sweeper against the same hand, at least if you have those offerings. But he was throwing his splitter a lot to right-handed batters. So I was cutting in towards them. And they, again, just like the fastball, they can just take it for a ride. And then his slider and sweeper, they were performing well. He was actually pretty effective when he threw them. And surprisingly, he was good against left-handed pitchers as well. Because, again, he had that fast, very good fastball and that splitter, which he threw a lot. But, again, against right-handed batters, he didn't throw his slider and sweeper enough. I threw a splitter a bit too much. And, again, his fastball usage was way too high. And we're seeing now fastball usage is down across the league a lot. The Red Sox are kind of leading the way there. And they've had some pretty good success so far. But now, Joe Ryan, his fastball usage is about 45% this year. So he's cut it by around 12%. First time in his career, it's below 50%. Definitely exciting. And then his splitter, he's throwing it more against lefties, which is definitely a good thing. It's about 40-40 split between his fastball and his splitter. And he's kind of refined his splitter a bit. Last year, if you look at its movement profile, it was kind of little sporadic. What you kind of want with your splitter and your changeup is that differential between your fastball, the vertical difference. So it kind of catches the off-speed pitch. It kind of catches the batter off guard. And he's been a bit more consistent in replicating that movement. So Joe Ryan, an improved splitter and an improved approach, especially regarding his usage, has made him pretty exciting pitcher to watch this season. And the results have been pretty good. 17 and a third innings, 2.6 ERA, 31.4 K minus walk percentage. And again, he's just, again, different approach, and he's kind of doing it pretty much to perfection to what we're seeing right now.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah. It seemed like he was, one tweak away from really taking that next step into kind of like an ace level pitcher. And from what you're describing, it sounds like maybe this tweak in his pitch usage is enabling him to take that next step. So very exciting if you have Joe Ryan on your fantasy teams. All right. So we talked about Joe Ryan, who has performed really well. Let's now transition to some pitchers who are not doing so well and not off to good starts here. And I've got five for you. And these are all pitchers who were drafted pretty highly within the top 100 picks. And I want to get your thoughts, Thomas, on whether you think these pitchers are going to bounce back to what we kind of expected from them. I'm going to start with Aaron Nola, who was drafted like around the fourth round this year. In fantasy drafts, and coming off a down year last year, there were a lot of people that just expected him to bounce back, like that every other year with him. Like, he has one good year, one down year, and I think a lot of people expected it to be, a bounce back season for him. But the results so far have not shown that. I know he pitched well against the Rockies at home, which, let's be honest, if he didn't, then we'd really be concerned. I think Mike could go out there right now and put up, give us a quality start against the road Rockies.
Yeah, I can throw my slider's pretty good right now, Chris.
Yeah, yeah, you really, you've been working on your spin, right? So
yeah, I'm 50 years old and throwing a slider. I'm good.
Yeah, no, it might work against that team. Definitely against the A's for sure, and the White Sox. But anyway, Aaron Nola, Thomas, what do you think about his start so far, and do you see him turning things around?
Aaron Nola definitely got off to a pretty cold start, kind of in the both terms. He had a few starts there, some poor weather, some rainy, some cold weather. His velocity was down a bit. I saw he was, in one of the starts, it looked like he wasn't gripping the ball as well as he probably normally does. kind of the opposite of sticky stuff. From what I'm seeing now, his last start against the Rockies was definitely more encouraging. His velocity was up. But for Nola, I'd say his stuff wasn't really that great last year. Definitely not as what we're used to seeing from him. He also had a poor per year, 4.46 ERA. His FIP was definitely his FIP jumped almost an entire run from 2022 to 2023. He's giving up a bit more home runs. This year, again, the home run issue is still present. And again, his stuff isn't kind of where you want to see it. His only really solid pitch right now is his knuckle curveball. He's throwing it a lot, which is, I guess, encouraging because he's getting good results on it. But again, it's getting kind of hit hard, especially when he doesn't locate it well enough. But the fastball just feels like it's fallen off a bit. Not getting too many whiffs, not getting any chases at all, pretty much. I guess right now we're looking at a pitcher that might be needing to just live off of his command because he's been pretty good with his command overall. But I guess so far this season, kind of not as great as we're used to seeing. But as the weather warms up, I would think he'd perform a bit better, especially against the Rockies. It's kind of, you have to take that with a grain of salt sometimes. They got absolutely destroyed by Philadelphia this week. Christopher Sanchez just twirled an absolute gem against them, but I really liked Christopher Sanchez. Let's focus on Aaron Nola here. Overall, the home run issue, I'm not sure, again, if it's still what it was last year, because last year was kind of an anomaly compared to 2022. But again, he's kind of had a home run issue in his career prior to that. So if he's still letting up home runs like this and his command is slipping, definitely somewhat of a concern. But especially in the start against the Rockies, he only generated whiffs on his curveball. He didn't get any whiffs on his fastball, none on his changeup, none on his cutter, and his sinker. So again, it looks like his fastball may have taken a step back this year from both the stuff perspective and just the results. Overall, I think he has the command to kind of keep up as pretty much good production. If I was going to give him a 1 to 10 scale, kind of a worriness, I'll give 5. A bit worried. Going into the season, I wasn't too high on him. His stuff was a bit lower than kind of his peers around him. And he still has that home run issue, which he kind of had last year as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't think he's and you give me your opinion, Mike, but I don't think he's a set and forget it guy anymore. You know, I think guys normally that we draft in that range, I mean, he was many people's SP2, maybe their SP1. You kind of think, all right, this is a guy I'm just leaving in my lineup every week, not even thinking about it. And yeah. I think from what we've seen so far, I think he'll get better. But I think he's someone that you kind of got to be careful with. I'm not starting Aaron Nola in LA at the Dodgers, for example, or maybe even a lesser, definitely not the Braves. I'll tell you that there are definitely a handful of teams that I am not letting Aaron Nola pitch against because of that blow up potential, which we've already seen,
right.
We saw in that first start against the Braves. Thankfully, he gets the White Sox at home for his next start. So
their Sox are going to torch him. Watch. Just watch. They split today, Chris. They won a game.
It's a miracle.
Today.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's because I wasn't watching. So.
Yeah. So it's you're the problem. Okay. what do you think about Nola, Mike? I mean, do you have him anywhere? And think that if you're in a trading league, he's someone that you should target? Or what are your thoughts on him?
I'm not sure about targeting him at this point. I mean, I think the thing that is worrisome to me is that I share that idea too, that I don't think that he was an SP1 this year. I didn't buy into that hype at all. I thought he could have some potential as an SP2. The other thing I think that I think needs to be pointed out though, is that he's also pitched in terrible weather. He's had a couple of starts that have been just an absolutely brutal weather. And so I think what Tom has said too, about the weather starting to change and maybe get a little bit warmer, he'll bounce back. The other thing though, is there's a lot of miles on that arm. He's thrown quite a bit over the last few years. He's always been a workhorse. He's always been a guy who takes the ball. I'm still going to hold on to him at this point and hope for better. And as far as trying to acquire him in leagues that I don't have him in, I don't think so. I think I'm willing to let that one ride for some other people at this point.
Yep, absolutely makes sense. All right, want to keep it moving here. We've got another pitcher to talk about. Thomas, give us your level of concern on a 1 to 10 scale. You gave a 5 for Nola in terms of your panic or level of worry. Where are you at on George Kirby?
For Kirby, I'd give it like a 2. His last start was definitely a bit more encouraging. He stopped throwing pitches right down the middle. He's kind of nibbling on the corners a bit more. So that was definitely encouraging. I saw his slider, did a little tweak to his slider. So that might make him just help him out a bit more, maybe more comfortable. But definitely with Kirby, as always, he's not walking anyone. He's definitely getting a bit unlucky. There was that one start against Cleveland when they hit like maybe there's like 2 hard hits or something, or not many. Maybe it was 4 of 20 of their batted balls were hard hits. They were just getting through the defense, or the defense just for some reason couldn't make a play on it. Mm-hmm. In general, Kirby's not too concerning. He might benefit from walking a bit more guys, or at least not getting too high into the zone. Kind of what we saw against, I think it was the Reds a few days ago. Kind of making them go after the ball, maybe make them guess a bit. Maybe he can have some mind games with the batters, because like they know he's not going to walk anyone. But maybe he throws a ball outside the zone or just on the edge, and then make them bait them, make them swing at it and whatnot. But definitely that start against Cincinnati made it a bit more encouraging. And again, not much level of concern. Again, I'll say a 2 because again he had a few issues, I guess, just not pitching in the middle of the zone. And he might have a few starts like that here and there. But in general, Kirby should have no issues bouncing back.
Mm-hmm. How does he grade out in your models?
He is just for the season, he's just above average. But actually, last start was actually one of his better starts. He was around like 105 in like all of his pitches, which normally he's only around there with his slider and his splitter. But yeah, last start, grades were up across the board. I think he was just executing a bit better too. Again, he was kind of pitch rather than kind of aim right in the middle of the plate. And he had the best, his best start of the season.
Mm-hmm. Keeping it in Seattle, Thomas, his teammate Luis Castillo at 0-4. What's your level of concern with him at this point?
For Castillo, I'll give it a 4, I'd say, out of 10. His fastball didn't grade out well last year, but it had a really high whiff rate. He was able to just, I guess, stomp batters a lot. So last year was at 33%. This year is down to 23%. It's a 90 in my Teaches to Plus model. Same thing as last year. I know it doesn't grade out well in many other models. It has the velocity, but again, the shape just makes it a bit more hittable in general, I guess, comparatively to other pitches of that. And if that fastball isn't at its like level as it was last year, at least at batters being able to make contact on it, I can definitely see that being a concern. Again, he's one of the slower starters. Again, I don't like looking at monthly splits too often, but it's kind of crazy when you look at Castillo's. His ERA in April is, I think, double the rest of the months of the year. Almost every single year, just might not like pitching in the colder weather. I know I wouldn't like doing that, so it kind of makes sense there. But yeah, Castillo, he's not walking anybody, which is good to see. His slider's performing well, which is definitely what you want to see. His slider's definitely good. His changeup, kind of has fallen off, I think, the last few years. But it's still a good weapon if he can locate it well and utilize it properly. But again, the four seam, if he can't get back to that four seam as level as it was last year, it'll be tough for him to kind of repeat it. But again, I'll only give it a 4 because I'll kind of wait and see approach with him, because again, the weather kind of typically makes him pitch worse.
All right, we've had no one above a 5. I'm going to give you one more and see if we get there. How about Jesus Luzardo?
Okay, Luzardo, I'm going to give him like a 7.
All right. Oh, no. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. He's never really been a stuff plus standout in my model. I'm similar, I think, in Eno's as well. He kind of definitely gets that benefit. He has the high velocity, the lefty, left-handedness kind of stumps some batters as well. But he's just not locating anything this year. He's not fooling anyone with his fastball either. He's also down a tick or so, about a mile per hour on his fastball. He pitches in a great park, which definitely helps him in Miami there. But again, if he's not being able to locate his pitches and he's not generating the whiffs that he typically does, it's going to be tough to kind of hold him, I guess, kind of be more confident in him later on. So yeah, I give him like a 7 out of 10. Definitely of this group of players, definitely more worried about him. But I also expect him to have been probably the cheapest one to get in drafts. Mm-hmm. So I guess kind of the price comes with it.
All right. So Thomas's panic meter on these pitchers. We've got Aaron Nola at a 5, George Kirby at a 2, Castillo at a 4, and Lizardo at a 7. All right. Great breakdown, Thomas. Thank you for that. We are going to move ahead to our next segment and look ahead here. And, you know, I mentioned at the top that you have you provide some really good data on minor league players. So having you on here, I have to ask you if there are any minor league pitchers that you are seeing that have really stood out in your model so far and who you think could make an impact at the major league level this season.
Well, the obvious one, he's number one in my model. It's Paul Skenes. Kind of pretty much there. He's been tearing through AAA. I don't want to cover him too much, but again, 57.6% K percentage, the highest TJ stuff plus in AAA. He's at 50 pitches per start right now. He's been at 3 starts, around 3 innings per start. I'm not sure when he'll be up, but he's definitely the number one guy, especially when he gets called up. Not sure when that will be, but I do know like the free agent budget, all that stuff there. Definitely, you want to spend a lot on him.
Yeah,
people will be breaking him. He is possibly the most expensive guy, like the target you want this season. He is like the pitching prospect. I would say the number one. Another guy would be Jackson Jobe. He hasn't pitched too much this season. I don't have any Statcast data on him. But he is the only other pitcher which I would even put in the same conversation to be the number one pitching prospect in baseball. I think he only had 1 start this year. That wasn't too great, but again, during the spring, he had even better TJ stuff plus than Paul Skenes has had in AAA, which is crazy to say, as fastball is could possibly be one of the best pitches in baseball, right? MLB, right when he comes up. I would really wish I had AA Statcast data, but Jackson Jobe, I'm not sure when. It might be more down the line. I don't think Detroit's really hurting too much for pitching. They have Matt Manning as well in AAA, who I'm kind of like. He has some concerns with home runs and command issues, but he's also another guy. I guess another one, Jack Leiter, starts on Thursday. A very electric fastball. He's always had command issues, which is definitely something to watch out for as he starts tomorrow. The slider also grids out really well. Lance Brzdowski had a really great breakdown down him on YouTube earlier today. But again, Leiter, electric fastball. He just needs to make sure he can command it a bit better. But this year he's been pretty good with it, locating it high in the zone, generating a lot of whiffs. So Leiter, definitely got to watch tomorrow. I'm going to definitely have a nice breakdown of him as well after his start. Christian Scott,
that's definitely my guy right a lot there. Of
helium. He's going up there. I really like him this year. He's built up, so he's around five or so innings per start. He's around 80 to 90 pitches. I guess the pitches are probably more important than the inning numbers. But again, 46.4 K percentage and a 5.4 walk percentage. All 4 of his pitches grade out about average to above average. His sweeper is devastating. It's a fastic pitch. His fastball is also great too. He has a very unique delivery arm slot, so that kind of trips up batters too. So I'd expect it to outperform on most stuff models as well. I saw during spring, I guess I haven't checked, you know, Saris's latest model. I know spring, his stuff plus was just over 100, but then his pitching plus was well higher. He has great command. Again, the stuff plus the command, definitely a great guy to keep an eye on. He's 24 years old. He's built up. I'm not sure when the Mets will need him, but he definitely should be up. Hopefully up before May or in early May. Ricky Tiedemann. The Blue Jays aren't really worried too much about a fifth starter right now. I guess they do have some holes. Bowden Francis really didn't work out in that role there. But then now they have Yariel Rodriguez. But Tiedemann, he's been a bit slow so far. He's had, again, some starts in colder weather. A lot of command issues. He is at 21% walk rate in AAA right now. His velocity is a bit down too. So I'm not expecting him up too soon, but maybe down the line, maybe July or August, if the Jays need an arm somewhere or there's an injury. Definitely, he's still striking out guys at a good clip. His whiff rate's up too. He's just not locating the pitches too great right now. Again, more of a command issue. And hopefully when he builds up a bit more, he'll be a bit more effective. Down the line, he hasn't pitched too much. Just 8 innings thus far. And another one that stood out in my model is Will Warren. He is getting smoked right now in AAA, but his sweeper is a really good pitch. I have it as a plus-plus pitch. It has a 47% whiff rate as well. And the issue right now is his sinker. He's just living in the middle of the zone. Usually you want to keep your sinker down low, but he's just leaving in the middle, and batters are absolutely crushing it. But if he can kind of get that command under control, a 50% walk rate, and not have that sinker just eat up the heart of the zone, he could be a nice arm down the line for the Yankees. I know it's Luis Gil. His command is also not the greatest. He had a crazy start early this week against Toronto. He walked everyone. I think it was like his zone rate was like 36% or something. So technically, the Blue Jays could have just walked the whole day if they wanted to, but they didn't. But again, Will Warren, not someone I'm too, I don't think he'll be up too soon. Again, he definitely has some things to work out, but he does rank out really well in my model.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. So we got Paul Skeens, we got Jackson Jobe, Christian Scott, Ricky Tiedemann, and Will Warren. Is there anybody that like you saw them recently and you saw their numbers and you were like, dude, I don't even know. I've never even heard of this guy before. And you were just like so surprised at how well this player performed, like someone really under the radar.
Yeah, there's from Minnesota, David Festa. He's kind of well known, but his stuff plus numbers were pretty great to see. Again, a lot of command issues, but a very good fastball, 95 miles an hour, 20 inches of induced vertical break. That grades out at 112 TJ stuff plus. Not getting the whiffs this year right now because, again, the command's not that great. Batters are kind of laying off the ones that are at least making contact with the ones that he does throw near them. The changeup, though, the changeup is something I'm very interested in. He's actually primary changeup pitcher. 37% of his pitches are changeup, which is very interesting to see. It's a pretty even split of his changeup, four-seam and slider, but the changeup kind of leads a bit more there. And Minnesota has been struggling a bit with their starters, Louis Varland, Chris Paddock. I think Paddock would stay a bit more. Varland is, I guess, the bigger question mark if he sticks in the rotation. But I could see Festa coming up. Again, issues with the command. 23% walk rate is definitely not something you want to see. But the stuff is there. The whiff rate is great. The strikeout rate is also solid. And he's also not letting up too much hard contact. So David Festa of the Twins, his AAA data is great. There's just a few other single-A guys that kind of caught my eye. But again, they won't be up this season. Mm-hmm. Someone like George Clayson is definitely a riser, I'm going to say, if anyone in a dynasty league or whatnot. George Clayson of the Phillies is standing out a lot in my model.
All right. Awesome.
That's interesting. I just picked him up last week on the waiver wire in my dynasty league. So I appreciate that. Thomas, one more question for you here. We know it's really early to draw any conclusions, a small sample size and everything so far, but especially on hitters, who's one hitter you think might be flying under the radar right now that could be a boon for fantasy managers later on this season?
I kind of do like Jorge Soler. His underlying metrics are pretty good right now. He had a 2-hit day today. The Giants, they are struggling a bit. Ryan Weathers kind of carved them up yesterday. Just in general, I think Soler has 3 home runs this year and just 5 RBIs. So I would expect that to kind of bounce back a bit more. There's only one guy I wish was doing much better is Henry Davis. He kind of bit me a lot this year. I thought he was going to do really well, especially with his spring training. The metrics aren't too great on him there, but if he's given the chance, he is a former first overall pick. Definitely don't pay to get him or anything. He is doing very poorly right now. But for other batters there, do you have any examples? Something I just blank in my mind right now. Is there any guys you're interested in? I can probably take a cover.
Well, one guy who actually I drafted in my main event, partially because of something that you put out, and that is Dalton Varsho. I know you were very high on Varsho, especially off of his spring training because of his swing decisions in spring training and also his aggressiveness on the base pass. And I feel like, I mean, he got off to a very slow start. We saw today he hit 2 home runs. It seems like he's getting going a little bit here. So that's one player that, you know, again, I got on your recommendation, basically. And I think maybe a little bit under the radar. And like, if you're in a trade league, you probably could get Dalton Varsho pretty cheap. And I think there's a really nice power speed combo. And that he's, you know, gonna really heat up here moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. His swing decisions have kind of carried over the improvements from spring training. I guess the big issue that really hasn't is kind of his line drive rate. He's not barreling the ball too often. The sweet spot percentage is also kind of low. But again, today he hit 2 home runs, kind of crushed them. Unfortunately, the Blue Jays lost that game from some pretty poor bullpen management near the end. But Varsho, the swing decisions are there. Kind of shows off the power today as well. I do like him. I liked him before the season, specifically because, again, his defense is so great. He's great on the base paths. And last year was kind of just like a pretty big down year for him, the first year with the Blue Jays. But this year, he still has that speed defense. He'll play almost every game. He'll maybe sit against a few lefties here and there. But again, the swing decisions are still up. And if he's able to continue just making hard contact, which he's been pretty decent at doing this season, although he's not getting those barrels and lifting the ball enough, I think good fortune will come to him. I guess another guy that I kind of looked at today, Mike Petriello of MLB.com kind of pointed out Ty France. He is smoking the ball this year. His hard hit rate is in like the 94th or 95th percentile. I think he went to Driveline. Everyone loves that saying. He went to Driveline over the summer, over the winter, sorry. And everything looks to be doing good. Great swing decisions, swinging a lot of pitches in the zone. He's a bit chasing a bit more, so his walk rate won't be too high, but definitely Ty France definitely been one of the more unlucky batters. Prior to the game today, he had a 57 hard hit percentage, 10% barrel rate. Definitely everything you want to see was kind of doing well, except again that walk rate and in the results themselves. But Ty France, definitely a batter, again, very widely available, I would suspect. Yeah. And his underlying metrics are doing great. One that isn't really underlying is Ryan O'Hearn. Flying under the radar too much is Ryan O'Hearn. He's been on fire. I think he leads the league in expected WOBA. Again, I don't want to take too much off a 50-game sample, but it is a really good 50-game sample, so there might be something there. It is tough to kind of believe in a batter who's kind of showed who he is for the past 3-4 years in that regard, but if there's guys making larger jumps in, say, their barrel percentage or their exit velocities, definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Some good names there. So we do have to wrap up in a few minutes here. Thanks so much, Thomas, for you know, for breaking those things down for us. We usually do a segment every week on bullpens because Mike writes about bullpens over at Fantrax. But Mike, I'm just going to keep it simple this week. If there is one guy that our listeners should be targeting, let's say in a 12 team league, and they've got waiver pickups or fab this weekend, who's one guy that you think should be the primary target?
Well, that's a good question. I wasn't anticipating that.
That's why I asked.
I'm guessing, you know, I'm guessing right now that that guy for a lot of people is probably going to be Kirby Yates down in Texas, just because of the fact that that bullpen has been rocky. Leclerc has been bumped down back to a, you know, middle relief type of guy. And Robertson's been pretty good, although he's not striking out as many guys as what he's used to. Yates did get a save there on Monday night. And so I think that that's a guy that, at least in the short term, I don't know that he's going to hold on to that job all year. I still think that Texas is a team that will go out and make additions to that bullpen. They also have a number of guys missing too. You know, Josh Spores is out, Jonathan Hernandez is out, and Brock Burke is also out now too. Yates has an opportunity for now, so I'm anticipating that there'll be a lot of bids for him this weekend if there weren't already last weekend.
All right, so he's the number one guy. Unfortunately, yeah, he got scooped up in my 15 teamers. I'm hurting at closer. I had Abner Uribe as one of mine. I had Helsley as my other. So definitely need another one. Trevor McGill is out there. Piamps is not. Yeah. But yeah. I know you like McGill in the offseason.
I still do. And I think he's sounds like he's coming back this weekend. You know, he had the concussion from the weird accident that he had. One other guy that you might want to think about, too, if available. Tanner Scott appears to be pitching himself out of a job down in Florida and it hasn't been very good. So Andrew Nardi would be a guy that I think would be a good target there in Florida as well.
All right. Yeah, I feel like eventually they're going to just take Puck out of the rotation, though, and just say, hey, just go back to closing. You know,
agreed.
That seems inevitable. But yeah, for now, I don't I didn't believe in Tanner Scott all offseason, and I certainly don't now. So yeah, someone's going to take that job. But anyway, Thomas, I know I don't want to take too much of your time, so we are going to cut it there. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. If you could just remind our listeners where they could find you on social media and just anything that you might have going on that you might want to tell people about.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you guys for inviting me on. I had a great time speaking with you all. You can find me again. My name is Thomas Nestico. You can find me on Twitter or X, reluctantly, at TJ Stats. Again, you find my Patreon pinned there. And my pinned tweet, I kind of cover everything I got there: pitching summaries, rolling charts, MLB and MILB Statcast data, other MILB data that isn't Statcast, such as like swinging strike rates and whiff rates. I also have an estimated kind of zone in zone, out of zone rates too. Up and coming, I plan on releasing some batter cards. So again, for all the levels, you may have seen a few. I shared one about Jackson Merrill earlier this week, as his birthday coming up soon, and he's having a great start, great rookie season so far. Again, I have articles. You can find me on Medium. Thomas Nestico as well. Again, you can see my TJ stuff plus my TJ stuff plus model, my swing decision model, kind of stuff. If you're interested in just baseball data in general, I kind of go through my methodology and also share some code regarding that. But yeah, I had a fantastic time speaking with you guys today.
No, you were great. Thank you so much. All right. We will leave it there for today. We will be back next week with another episode. And I didn't even tell you, Mike, I've got Mike Wildner of the Toronto Star lined up for next week. So we'll be talking Blue Jays.
Yep.
So excited to have him back on. So stay tuned for that. For Mike Carter, I'm Chris Torres. Thank you so much for listening to the Fantasy Baseball Beat.